Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, Conversations in Creating a Conscious and Abundant Life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome back to The Conversation. In today's episode, we're going to explore alignment. Responding to a question that was posted in our Facebook group, the Aligned Self Podcast Listeners Facebook group. And if you're interested, if you can join it at any point in time on Facebook, the secret answer, how did you hear about the Facebook group, is on the podcast. Of course, I just don't want anybody in there because just about anybody can see the group. So I know that you're a listener if you say, I heard about the Facebook group on the podcast. So in the Facebook group, there was posted a question, and you can post questions for me to talk about. I love it when you ask questions because it gives me a focus. So Shelley wrote this. Hi, this is a question regarding self-alignment. I feel that my mind is in the correct place, and I can logically think through challenges. I understand the power of my words and my thinking. My question is, how do I get my body physically in line with my thoughts? Example. I mentally feel strong and capable, but my body feels restless and uneasy. I'm going to offer a couple different ways of dealing with this, but the main idea I want you to hold in the back of your mind as I talk about this is that how you feel at any given moment is an indicator as to how aligned your thinking and your thoughts actually are. Said another way, you're in alignment when you feel like you're in alignment. So the question is, how do we get the body on board? How do we get that alignment? Now, with Shelley's question, there's not any specific she's talking about. If I had a specific situation, it'd be easier to talk about. So there's a little bit of a hypothetical here, so I'll do the best that I can. I know a little bit about her situation because I have talked to her personally. But as far as you all go, this also has ramifications for manifesting and law of attraction. How do you align your heart with your mind and your body so that you're a congruent force of attraction? And so as I continue here, I'm going to speak to her, and I'm also going to speak to you. And I trust that your other-than-conscious mind will apply it to your unique situation and use it in a way that works for you. Now, understand that we are a psychic soma being. How you use the mind affects the body, and how you use the body affects the mind. So if we're saying the right things, but our body isn't yet responding, it isn't yet on board, then we haven't sufficiently seduced it yet. And I want to use the metaphor of seduction and foreplay. I hope that's not too adult for you. But in the arena of making love, you know, both of you may want it. You may have the intention to get it on, but you might not necessarily be in the mood. There is a process of getting the body on board with the intention. And that's what we want to do here. How do you align your body, how you're using your body, with how you're thinking? Well, I'm going to offer a couple of different pathways to that answer. One is to address the actual uneasiness. I'm going to talk directly to Shell, but you can kind of listen in on this. So if there's feelings of uneasiness in what's coming up or what you're dealing with, then we don't want to just override it with the right thinking or saying the right words. You want to actually attenuate or pay attention to that uneasiness. We don't want to really give it too much attention. We don't want to play into it. We don't want to roll around in the mucky muck of it. But when we can acknowledge it, I feel uneasy about this, it validates the feeling. It validates that subpersonality that isn't completely on board, that part of us that isn't yet aligned with that thinking. And you can think of it as a subpersonality or a part of you that's not quite in the buy-in, not quite on board with what you're thinking about. Because that part is thinking, maybe if things could go wrong, maybe it doesn't work out. What if it doesn't happen the way I'm saying it is? That's a possibility. So we acknowledge that possibility. You're uneasy because things could go awry. It could go awry. It may not work out. And so we acknowledge that feeling and say, but this is what we have in place, and this is what we're doing, and this is where we're focusing. And so we're doing the best we can with what we know. And so I understand a part of me is afraid. A part of me is uneasy. But let's align ourselves with the outcome that we want. And if the worst case scenario happens, we'll deal with it then. It doesn't do us any good to deal with it now. We're more than capable of picking up the pieces and beginning again, taking a different approach. So what we want to do here, just to outline the process of that framework, is you want to acknowledge the feelings of uneasiness. We don't want to just push them aside. Acknowledge it. I feel a little fearful here. I feel uneasy. There's a part of me doesn't think this is going to work. Part of me is afraid that it won't work. We acknowledge that's there. And we can talk to ourselves and say, it's understandable that it's a part of me is uneasy because anything can happen, really. You know, we can have the best of intentions, but anything could happen. But if we focus on, and this is where we want to think about generalities and kind of negotiate with this part. But if we focus on the worst case scenario, more than likely, since we both believe in law of attraction, we'll be attracting the very thing that we don't want. So could we actually focus on what we do want? And if the worst case scenario does happen, we'll deal with it then. I want to emphasize that this is a conversation that's going on inside you, between two different parts of you. Another way of thinking about this is a young child says, I'm afraid of the monster under my bed. And you can say, don't worry about it. There's nothing under your bed. You're too old to believe in monsters. That approach is not attenuating. It's not paying attention. It's not understanding what the real want or need is there. If you were to say, I understand, baby girl, we're all afraid of something. So what do you need from me to assure you that everything is okay? You want me to get the flashlight for you? You want to look under the bed and we'll look together? We'll look in the closet? You check everything out. See, everything's just fine. And then we'll leave a flashlight on your nightstand. So if you want it, it's there. And if monsters do show up, you simply say, this is my room. This is my house. You're not welcomed here. You have to leave. And they have no choice. They have to go. So would you like to say that with me right now? We'll say it together and we'll give it extra oomph, extra power. And so you say it. This is my house. You're not welcomed here. You need to go. So the two approaches is the first one is like, get over it. Get over yourself. You know, snap out of it. And the other one is actually attenuating and understanding and checking in, addressing those needs. What do you need or want? What would make a difference for you? Now, the reason a lot of people don't do this is because it doesn't feel as expedient. It's not as quick. You have to, you know, think about the making love. You know, the first response, if you really want to get down to business, like, let's do this, like, let's go in the other room and let's do this. Or there's the process of seduction, the foreplay. It takes a little bit longer. There's some caressing. There's some kissing. There's just soft words and a tone of voice. It's an alignment. Not let's do this, but hey, let's get comfortable. Okay, so there's a possibility I didn't explain it completely. When we attenuate, when we check in with that part, we want to pace it like when you think of like double Dutch jump rope. You have two people on either end of the rope and you have to time it to get in. You have to time it just right and you want to pace it. And so you just don't want to walk into the rope. Another idea around pacing is let's say you're laying out a community pool. You're the only one there and you're laying back and you're soaking in the rays and you have your eyes shut, maybe even headphones in. You can still hear some of the sounds around you, but you're kind of just blissing out the fact that you're laying in the sun all by yourself. But if someone was to quickly open up the gate, rush in and yell and jump in the pool with the cannonball splashing all over you, it would be quite the upset, would not be in rapport with you. But if someone was to open up the gate and walk down, you could hear the footsteps on the pool deck and they slide out a chair, all very subtly, all very quietly, and you hear them moving around. You think in your head, it's understandable. They're just laying out their blanket or they're laying out their towel and they're getting ready. And you might even hear them at the other end of the pool, not too close to you because that would be jarring. But at the other end of the pool, you start hearing a little bit of splashing until they're walking in. They're getting in the pool. They're getting wet. You might hear them swim around a little bit. And you're not really paying that much attention because they're matching your energy. You're matching the vibration of the space. And then they could even swim up really close to you and start a conversation. if they start talking gently. "Excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but do you know how late the pool's open?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, it's open till 10. And so when we pace it, when we pace that part, pace that inner part, we want to address its wants and needs. Address it where it's at. If it's anxious, you say, "You're anxious." Actually, your tonality is matching. "You're anxious. I understand it. It's understandable." Most people would be anxious in this situation. That's the same thing we said to our little girl. Everyone's afraid of something. We acknowledge the unrest. We acknowledge the fear. We acknowledge the uneasiness. And then once you acknowledge it, you can move it. You can move it somewhere. You can inform it. Think of different ideas. This is where you can change your thinking to more generalized thoughts. Now, this would be easier if we were sitting in front of each other, but think of a concentric circle, like a Target or the symbol for the Target stores. You have a big outer circle and smaller circles inside the bigger circle. If you think on the outside is a more generalized concept, universal ideas that nobody can disagree with, such as it's understandable. Everyone's afraid of something. It's understandable. Everything could go wrong. Things may not go the way. It's a truism, or it's true. It's irrefutable. It's true. It may not work out, but it's not necessarily true that it will not work out. And you can ask the question, is there any more that I could do in Shelley's situation? Possibly not. Possibly there's nothing more that you could do to make any difference. You've done all you could, and now it's kind of out of your hand. Let's take a different tact and talk about law of attraction. Let's say you want to manifest something and part of you is uneasy about it. Part of you is in doubt. You would just acknowledge that part. Part of me doesn't believe I can actually pull this off. Part of me doesn't believe that it will come my way. And then we can think more globally, but, you know, nothing is written in stone. Anything can happen at any moment in time. Things can turn on a dime when we least expect it, and they can happen in our favor. Can they not? So since I may not be able to control the ultimate outcome, what can I control? Well, I can control my focus. I can control my emotions. And my emotions will be in alignment with what I'm focusing on, whether consciously or unconsciously. And so in that regard, if we're experiencing uneasiness, we're experiencing doubt, then what we want to focus on are those areas of our life that we are sure of, that we're certain of, that give us joy, that make us feel good. This is where it's useful to think about the things that you're appreciative of, that you have gratitude for, that you love and appreciate. Because it is nearly impossible to be anxious or uneasy when you're in gratitude, when you're in love. What we've talked about so far is working from the psychic realm, from the mental realm, changing our thoughts, changing our focus in order to affect the body. Remember how we use our mind affects the body? How we use our body affects the mind, the psychic soma loop. So what if we were to address the body first? Shakespeare said it best, "To assume a virtue, act as if you have it not." So we act as if. If I was completely relaxed, how would I be sitting? If I was completely relaxed, how would I be breathing? If I was completely relaxed, how would I be standing? Remember, when we encounter stress, we usually hold our breath. And so if we can have one of those releasing sighs, it feels good. Just me sighing just now, it felt good. So release it. Take a nice deep breath. Take 3 or 4. Take a deep breath and then hold it for a while. Hold it for as long as you can, as long as it's comfortable. And then once it becomes uncomfortable, give yourself a slow exhalation, knowing that as you exhale that breath, your body will begin to relax and your heart will begin to slow down. And then as you do that, you can search your body for any tension, any residual tension. Where are you holding your tension? And it might feel like a tight rubber band. And just imagine that rubber band unraveling and loosening like a wet noodle. We're actually creating the feelings of relaxation in our body, and we're aligning our thinking, our visualization with that relaxation. What do I need to release in order to relax? Now, friend, if you're driving, stay alert while you relax. You might want to take a hot bath. You might want to take a hot shower. You might want a cup of cocoa, something to help alleviate and relax your mind and body. another way of engaging the mind and body is ask yourself the question, if I knew that this was already handled, already done, how would I feel? If you think about the end result, you get the result you want, how good would that feel? Where would you feel it in your body? How would you feel it in your body? Would you, if you actually experienced the desired outcome that you're seeking, would you breathe a sigh of relief? Well, breathe it. Breathe that sigh of relief and release the tension, saying the words, I understand that this is already done. My manifestation is already here. I'm just aligning my body with that reality. Now, if you have an internal voice that won't shut off, you, worst case scenario, can't get away from that, then one of the hacks you can do is using your eyes to look someplace else. I want you to roll your eyes up to the top of your head. Now, if you're driving, don't do this. Stands to reason. But keep your eyes on the road. But to turn off the internal dialogue, roll your eyes up to the top of your head like you're looking at the back of your eyelids. This eye movement actually accesses the visual cortex and shuts off the internal dialogue. To go back to my first metaphor, the lovemaking metaphor, and the seduction aspect of it, if we start with a gentle caress or a hug, a full body hug, and just kind of breathe in to each other, matching each other's breathing, and then a nice kiss, maybe another kiss, a more passionate kiss. And before you know it, you might not have been in the mood, and after 15, 20 minutes, you're in the mood, just by allowing yourself to enjoy that first embrace. William James, the father of American psychology, said this, and it's been so true in my life and with my clients, the fastest way to shift your emotions is to move your body. You see, if you align your actions to be congruent with the way you want to feel, then the feeling is inevitable. The other thing to understand is how we feel is actually the caboose on our train of thought. So if you're thinking the right thoughts and you're not feeling the right feelings, then you still need to adjust your thoughts. Some things that I tell myself that are generalized in nature that assist me in relaxing into a feeling is, thank you, God, for helping me realize that this is already handled. I also say, everything is always working out for me. And then, in the end, everything works out. And if things aren't currently working out, it's not yet the end. Another favorite of mine is that everything can turn on a dime. So if currently it doesn't feel like it's moving in your direction, it can turn on a dime right now. And if you're in another country, you don't know what a dime is. It's a really small coin. So if you think about a car, it can turn on a dime. It can turn very sharply, reverse direction, just like that. Let's see, what else do I say? What if everything works out? What if everything happens my way? What if there's nothing to worry about? What if there was never anything to worry about? What if there was just getting through the going through? I say that a lot. This is just getting through the going through. It's already done. It already happened. The decision's already been made. I just need to catch up on it. Now, those are things that I tell myself, but like tuning into your little girl, what do you need to hear from me? What would make a difference? What would assure you that everything's okay? Or potentially okay. This is where it's useful to be gentle with ourselves, to be compassionate with ourselves, to address those needs of insecurity and talk them away, love them away. You see, those inner parts of us are just fearful. If we send that part unconditional love and tell it, it's going to be okay. I don't know how, and that's the truth. I don't know how, but we'll get through it. I don't know how, but it's all going to work out. See, usually the fear and the insecurity comes up because we don't know the how. The how is not our job. The how is the domain of the universe, the domain of God, your higher self. Your job primarily is to set the intention. My intention is I want everything to work out. I don't know how, but everything is going to work out. It may not be as I originally thought, but I know everything will happen for the better good. Until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Denovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner-directed as you engage in the epic adventure.